Welcome to the Chasing Brighter podcast.
You're about to go on a journey of self-discovery as we chase a brighter you. Every single week, we will bring you new episodes that will cover everything from lifestyle and tips to more serious conversations about grief, life, and hardships.
Allow this show to be a reminder to always keep chasing a brighter version of you. Let's get into it.
This month's book club pick is Year of Yes, How to Dance It Out, Stand in the Sun, and Be Your Own Person by Shonda Rhimes. If you're not familiar with Shonda Rhimes, she is a critically acclaimed and award-winning creator and executive producer of the hit television series Grey's Anatomy, Private Practice, and Scandal. She's the executive producer of How to Get Away with Murder and The Catch. And since this has been written, she produced Bridgerton.
Yeah.
Amazing, right? Incredible career that she has. And one of the reasons we chose this book is we've been talking so much, you know, about women's careers, women's professions.
Yeah. In celebration of Women's History Month.
Yeah. Yeah.
For March.
And just like the month of February, you too can get your own copy of Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. Go to our Instagram at Chasing Brighter. Follow us, find our reel on this month's book club, and in the comments, tag a friend, and you'll be entered for a chance to win this month's book. And so I think Shonda just talks about, yeah, you're at the top of your career, but she also just created this insulated world for herself and wasn't really pushing herself to stretch personally.
Yeah, the book, it goes through like her time within a year of yes, but I didn't get that all of a sudden it was like, this is going to be my year of yes. It was like something that she decided to make a change. And then she came upon a year and was like, it was so transformational for her and life changing.
Well, her sister made a comment. She's the youngest.
Yes.
Right. She's the youngest of six.
Yeah.
And an older sister made a comment, you never say yes to anything. And so I think it really had her think about all of the opportunities, speaking engagements, all of the things that she was saying no to. And so she challenged herself to say yes. And I know I'm going to skip all around, but one of the things, just to say the yes, is that her family and support group, her village, her tribe, said to her, no is also saying yes. And she has a chapter on no as a complete sentence and no as a boundary. And I think we've talked about that before. When we think of like fear of missing out, there's also joy of missing out. I think we've talked a lot about that.
JOMO.
Yes. And so when we say no to something, we're saying yes to something else. So in a way, no is yes. And I liked that chapter.
The reason I agree, let's hop around.
Okay.
Of this book, have a lot of notes. I think in summary, I don't know Shonda Rhimes very well. I definitely loved me some Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice. And I started watching Scandal, which is actually really amazing.
Yeah.
And
Kerry Washington is amazing.
I'm currently binging that show. And I have a deeper appreciation for this show because I think a lot of what she's done has changed things. One of the things I was thinking about with Shonda is she's 8-ish years older than me. And I was like, she grew up in our generation. And so having that be like her background, a lot of what she said really resonated with me. She's obviously chose a different life. She's not married.
Yeah.
She has kids. She was a career woman.
And raised in Chicago.
Yes.
I'm sure you love.
Rose lead to Chicago. Yeah. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I have to laugh because just in light of this, who was the like one of the hottest people as like when we were growing up, one of the hottest boys in like magazines, Patrick Swayze. So she was producing Grey's Anatomy and she does that. What is one of your favorite shows that came out? Gilmore Girls. And Paris from Gilmore Girls is like a recurring actor on all of her shows. So I think it's funny because I would almost like to ask her about the fact that did she, because of how she grew up and like some of these of her own favorite TV shows, do they influence how she cast people? Because I noticed that some of the cast members on these shows. Like, also in
Scandal. I'm sorry. What'd you say about Patrick Swayze? What about him?
No. Did I say Patrick Swayze? Yeah. I meant Patrick. Oh, well, I'll talk about that separately.
Okay. But, that's why that was confusing to me.
Oh, I said Patrick Swayze.
You did. That's where I and that's why mistake. I'm like, I'm just missing all of your connections.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Patrick Dempsey.
Okay. Yes. So Dempsey McDreamy. Okay. And then Paris from Gilmore Girls is a recurring actress on a lot of her shows.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then the guy, this is such a random one, but the murderer in Ghost, speaking of Patrick Swayze, the murderer in Ghost, was that Sam whatever? He's the president in Scandal. Yeah. I feel like there are people that
like there is a link to Patrick Swayze at all.
That she, yes. There are movies that she grew up with in like a time of her life that like she was able to like different stars in those she's brought into her shows.
Yeah, but I think she talks about that. And one of the things that I liked is that she talks about happy people want to be with happy people and unhappy people are unhappy when people are happy. Paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. So I think before she started this year of Yes, she realized she was an unhappy person and she didn't like when her friends would go on a journey of self-discovery and become happy. And so I think when you go through that journey and you realize I want to be around people who want it to be joyful, then you surround yourself with those people. And that would be why I think she would purposefully and intentionally surround herself with the same people when she had a chance.
She says, and I tell me if this is what you mean, I am no longer looking for the enemy, so I no longer see the enemy, is one of her quotes. And I took that as when you're in a bad headspace or you're not like, for example, me, if there's like a certain, I don't like crazy anxious soccer parents. And Beckett moves on to these different teams. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to like anybody there because I'm looking for people to not like.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you're not like me. And I have to, instead of, why am I looking for an enemy? Why do I care? Okay. So that was something that I loved her saying. The other thing that she said that's similar to what you were talking about, which I absolutely love, and this is what resonates with me, was everything sounds like crap if you're not in the right mindset. And so she talked about that with her weight loss journey, where her friend said, you just have to learn to love salads. And she was, that's BS. Like, why can't I just, I'm not going to do that sort of a thing. And later on, she goes through her weight loss journey. And at the end, she was like, I learned to love salads. And so it was this whole idea, which I think is so true for any of us, where you hear information somebody says to you, and it's like in one ear and out the other because you're not, it sounds like crap. It's something that I'm not in the right mindset to hear that. An example with you telling me that Wes needs to start doing videos and we need to start a social media channel if he wants to play college baseball. And I'm like, I'm not, that's crap. I'm not going to do that. And then today I talked to somebody who's doing college recruiting. I was like, yeah, you need to do that. I was like, oh, I guess I have to change my mindset and start.
And also that. I was just reading and be like, just. You're right.
You are right.
Maybe you know
you are
something.
Right, Jess. Thank you. Okay. You do know something. Okay.
I think what I, and I hear that and I love all of that, but what I was more talking about was like her chapter on losing friends during this journey. One, because she told them no. And then two, because she realized when she got in a really great spot, like when she talked about her friend, she used the name Patty. When she had her group of Ride or Die.
Yeah.
And when she was getting healthy and happy and feeling really great and doing all this stuff, she was like, wow, Patty's really critical. Patty doesn't seem happy for me. And she brought in her group of close friends and they were like, Patty's always been like that. Because I think she was like, Patty's changing. What's going on with Patty? And they're like, no, she's always been that way. You just never saw it. And we've been waiting for you to realize it.
Yes.
And but I guess also along the lines of what you're saying is it's the thing isn't changing, but your brain, the way you're thinking about it is changing.
Yeah. And she definitely does a lot of references to her Ride or Dies, which I think is interesting. That made me think about, we talk about friendships a lot on many episodes, and we've had a couple of friendship episodes, Jess, and we talk about close friends versus acquaintances. But I liked the category of ride or die, and I hear that more and more. And so it makes me think about, like, who are my ride or dies? And I think going through that exercise of introspection, and even for her, determining what friends might be toxic, are like, who are the people who accept you unconditionally, are happy for you at every moment.
But I was going to say, I cried. So one of the things I loved, because we listened to the audiobook is she did live clips of some of her speeches.
Yeah, it was amazing. Because yes,
she had a huge, she describes herself as an introvert and hated being in the public eye. And so a lot of her yeses were to speeches and public appearances and things like that. And her speech to the Human Rights Commission, HRC, is it Human Rights Commission?
Okay.
Because of all of her work of showing LGBTQIA relationships, LGBTQIA characters, all of that stuff. And she was terrified. And the woman, I think was her stylist, was like, why don't you invite your people? And so she had a table of people and she gave this whole speech about finding your people. And then she was like, I know you can find your people because I found mine. I cried hearing her talk about that. I don't know why.
She found her people.
Finding your, I think we talk about that so much, how important it is to find your people. And so that, I don't know why that made me.
I love when she, the other speech that she gave that was a clip was when she talked.
The Dartmouth commencement speech?
No, that was a great one. Loved that one. Would, by the way, did you know that there is a website, we will put it in the show notes, that I want to say it's like NPR or something.
Yeah, no, she talked about it. Yeah,
all the commencement speeches that are ever made, and they're like in there and they're like ranked. Yeah. And I love that because commencement speeches are like a great way. Think about TED Talks or other ways of things that inspire you. Like she was so inspiring in that. And I think about where our, like, if you are around any kids who are in that high school phase where that, to me, that really resonated. But the one speech that she gave, I want to say it was in front of the Screen Actors Guild or producers. She talked about the one thing I loved because was, again, this is our generation, where a lot of people are like, oh, you're a woman of color and you're a woman in this industry that's male dominated, and talk to us about how challenging it was for her. And she just said, or it made me think about the fact that like women of our generation are very fortunate to have to be able to benefit from the women who came before us. And she talked about that in her speech, and that I think it's really great thinking about that, especially with March being Women's History Month, because we honor successes like Shonda Rhimes. And so for being a woman or being a woman of color, being a single woman, or all those things where the women who came before us have allowed us to be successful. They've allowed us to be here now. And I think that was one theme that I really took from this book that I loved, was that like being grateful for those people who did break the ceiling. And in her speech, this was a speech she talked about where it was like, every woman who came before cracked the glass a little bit more. So I could feel the wind hitting my face. Her writing is amazing.
This book was really entertaining. And yeah, I think that she was unapologetic.
Yes.
And no excuses. She's a doer. And so when you talk about that, it's because she's just, maybe there were obstacles, but she didn't see them, because she, when she talked about Dartmouth, she was like, we live in a country where we have clean drinking water. And I guess it's just like all of the stuff we do have. She doesn't focus on what she doesn't have, or she doesn't focus on obstacles. She just focuses on getting shit done. And she talks a lot about that. And I thought it was fascinating. It was refreshing. And this book was written 10 years ago, which is interesting. Yeah. But anyway.
Yes.
Because now we're really like, gentle parenting is like this huge thing. And she talks about, you know, how people ask, oh, you're a mom, how do you do it, blah, blah, blah. And she's, I have a nanny, I have help. If I'm not writing, then if I'm failing at writing, it's because I'm doing great at being a mom.
Yes.
And when I'm doing great at writing, I'm failing at being a mom, and we can't do everything. And when my daughter is like, why didn't you come to my recital? And she was like, because I have to work and put food on the table. Bye.
Kind of thing. It was like, she's there for her daughter in at times too. So she's not there all the time. And in order for you to be great at all these things, you're not great at them all the time. And I think especially for women out there who are working women, and especially working moms, this book should be like one of your quintessential books to read in the modern times. I know it's 10 years old, but it really was about not being ashamed that you're not the stay-at-home mom, that you're not able to do all these things. Like, get help, figure out how to make your life easier.
Because for some people, you're a better mom if you work outside the home.
Yes.
And I thought it was funny when she had a friend that was like, I'm going to interview nannies. And it was way before she had children. And she was like, what's the point of being a mom if you're going to outsource parenting and have a nanny? And she is so ashamed. I don't even know what I was thinking when I told that to my friend. And that woman never talked to her again after that conversation.
Hopefully she redeemed herself with this book.
I wonder if she like called and apologized and was like, listen, I don't know what I was talking about.
I think it's very fascinating because the book also, I think she really came to terms with the fact that you need to figure out what your thing is and don't worry about what other people think and don't worry about what other people do. Everyone has their thing. And even though she did talk about like, her year of yes, I think, is owning who she was and not putting herself up against other people and their idea of her and coming to terms.
It was being authentic. It was being authentic. So the reason that she was hiding from these speeches and the reason that she was hiding from those places is because she didn't want everybody to see that she wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
And so when you open yourself up to that, then you've got to let people see we're messy, that we have issues and struggles. And
one of the themes that we can talk about with Chasing Brighter of this book is badassery. So women, you tend to not own things. They tend to not want to take compliments. She learned how to say thank you early on. I was like, oh, like she talked about her weight loss journey and then how she looked great in a dress. And she was like, people would say, oh, you look great in that dress. And she was like, oh, I got this on discount. Or like all these things instead of just saying thank you and moving on and being really appreciative. Yeah. And it doesn't matter like what it is. But as women, a lot of us have a hard time just saying thank you and being grateful for who you are as a badass and not being apologetic for it. And so a badassery is the ability for women to own their greatness and that we are all really great at something and we just need to own it and not be ashamed or shy. And even for us, this podcast and like people like owning, getting the award for the best female hosted podcast and be like, oh golly, shucks, blah, blah. We put a lot of work into this. It's really
awesome. I
worked hard.
I didn't minimize it. Part of me wanted to minimize it. But like you said, just saying thank you. Just saying thank you and allowing yourself that achievement.
The other last comment on my notes here, again, we're just jumping around. Actually, I have maybe two more, but this one especially is her view on marriage. Did you get to, I don't know if you remember
listeners,
that part.
Jessica did not finish the book. Okay.
So this was the end of the book anyway. The one thing that this is why we all read, you learn different views. You learn not to put everybody in the same, same path. Everyone has a different life and a different path and a plan. And hers is not to be married. So she's a mom and she's a career woman and she's not married. And in some ways it's fascinating because you can't have it all. And that's part of what she came to, where it's you can't have a successful marriage, or it's hard to have a successful marriage, a very thriving, demanding career in television and be a stay-at-home mom, right? You can't do all those things. And so just how she made choices. She decided not to be married because she thinks there's such thing as marriage plus sustained love, but she doesn't believe in divorce. And it almost felt like she's afraid of getting married because she's afraid of it not working out and she doesn't want to end it. And maybe she hasn't come across a person that fits into her view of things. She does also operate in an idealized view of stuff. I think this book was her coming out of her shell a little bit. Like
I wonder what
about.
She thinks now, right? As we grow, change, evolve.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating. I didn't read that yet. So she doesn't want to get married almost because
she doesn't
want to get divorced.
Say that, but that's what I'm reading between the lines. Yeah. She doesn't think you can have it all. And she felt like she didn't need marriage to have it all.
Yeah.
She'd love a boyfriend. I think if you look at some of her social media stuff and she may have a boyfriend, but it's, hey, I'm happy about having a boyfriend. I think the marriage part for her just wasn't.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Also, I had a talk with a friend a long time ago, and listeners, prove me wrong, whatever. But I think it's difficult for two partners to both be at the top of their field. I think someone takes a back burner for a little bit. And so I just think for her to be all that time, it would be like one more thing on her plate to have a partner she needed to give attention.
It makes me also, I got some Oprah vibes on the whole thing. I've never really looked into it too much with Oprah, but it's like a person who is incredibly successful in that way, where Oprah's not, she never married.
Mm-hmm. And she's been with Stedman for
She's been with Stedman for a long time, but there is this thing about marriage per se that I think is similar. But the other part, and again, look at Oprah. She doesn't have any kids. So it's
but also you're a billionaire. Do you want to give 50% of that to someone else? I don't know.
I think
the legal stuff, there are people and there has been, I don't have it to back me right now, but there are a lot of people that talk about marriage as an institution to oppress women. I'm just telling you, that's out there when it started, when the institution of marriage started, right? And so sometimes I think there are people that have opposition to that because it doesn't always benefit a woman. But I don't know their
reason.
She
grew up in a very loving household.
Yeah.
She grew up in Park Ridge. Park Ridge is like your classic middle, upper middle class neighborhood. Still is to this day.
Yeah.
It's like Pleasantville-esque there. And that's where she grew up. And so it was both of her parents were professors, I think. And so she had I almost feel like she had such a great, she thinks that they had such a great marriage that I think she was a little reluctant to jump into that. It just goes to show we all have a different happy ending and happy path.
Right.
And there's no one size fits all. And so I really love this book in that way.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, for us with Chasing Brighter, right? Like you have to find your own path and go on your own journey.
Yeah. And I think like when you tap into yourself and know what's true. That's why I guess I love that she's unapologetic. I don't care if she gets married, get married, don't get married, whatever. But if that's not for you, that's not for you. And you don't need to explain it to anybody. And like on that chapter of no being a complete sentence, you don't need to explain anything to anybody. If it's right for you, it's right for you. And that's your business.
The last thing on the book that is changing my parenting, and actually just me as a person a little bit, is the Wonder Woman pose. Did you get that a couple times in the book?
Yeah, Gabby and I were listening to it. And I was telling her, I want her to do it the morning of her driving test. I've heard that before, that power poses, like basically research shows that affirmations are not effective. Power poses are way more
impactful. Yeah, and I will put the link in the show notes. She talked about a TED Talk, and so I went and I watched the TED Talk, and it's super fascinating. But it is just the psychological and mental positive influence of a power pose. And before Wes went to baseball practice, whatever day previously, I was like, I want you to say, I am the greatest baseball player, blah, blah, blah. And he did it. And it was like, it took him out of a moment, if you will, where it energized him.
And so and she had the research backed on it. What was it?
That there was this TED Talk about
pose in the morning.
Yes.
Then later in the day, I can't remember it, but it was really fascinating.
That's why we have to put it in the show notes. Hopefully some people read them.
Yes. And then we just want to take a minute to remind you, just like the month of February, you too can get your own copy of Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. Go to our Instagram at Chasing Brighter, follow us, find our reel on this month's book club, and in the comments, tag a friend, and you'll be entered for a chance to win this month's book.
Year of Yes. So you can buy your copy or get one through our drawing.
So if you have not read this book and you want something, if you want to listen or read something that's fun and inspiring, I highly recommend this book.
This is a book that will stick with you and is life-changing. I think every woman, especially working moms, need to read it.
Thanks for listening today. Don't forget to subscribe so you can hear our latest episodes as soon as they drop.
If you loved today's episode, share with a friend. Come visit us on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure to give us a follow. We have lots of giveaways. If you want to know more about Kelly and I, read our blogs, find more tips, tools, and resources, check that out at chasingbrighter.com. Thanks.